we are
back in the bar, I noticed it. I'm sorry.
Mr. Commissioner, you're out of order.
I'm done now. Go ahead.
Okay, we will call the meeting to order and welcome everybody and glad that you joined us this morning. And as Jim has pointed out to me, that we have the rules of public meeting in Braille and in print in the back of the room. So if anybody wants to look at that, you certainly can. I think we will have, before we do introductions, I think we'll have one of our commissioners read through the agenda for the day.
I can do that.
Okay. Thank you, Darryl.
Okay. 9 o'clock, we call to order, followed by general introduction of everyone. Okay. Announcement concerning public comments, meeting recordings, lunch arrangements, and other logistics. 9:10, we'll have minutes of the February 7th, 2009 meeting. 9:15, evaluation of executive director and review of the staff survey. 10:15, we have public comments. 10:25, there's a break. 10:35, report from the chairman. 10:45, report from the executive director. 11:05, public comments. Old business begins at 11:15. We have the budget update. 11:25, NIST update. 11:30, NFB Newsline update. 11:35, Client Assistance Program, CAP. If there's any issues there, then we go to new business. 11:40, state plan. 11:55, federal stimulus funds. 12:10, lunch break. It's on your own. 12:55, discussion of attending blind advocacy group conventions. 1:05, logistics of August meeting, timeline, lodging, etc. 1:10, focus topic for next meeting, August 8, 2009, which will be in Scotts Bluff. The topic is supported employment. November 21st, 2009, topic, business enterprise in vendors. Other topic suggestions for consideration, field services, or how staff work with individuals in the field. 1:15, that's public comment. 1:25, final announcements. And 1:30 is scheduled for adjournment.
Thank you, Darryl. Let's see. Pearl, did you? I thought you were making a motion to.
Oh.
No. Okay.
No, I'm sorry.
That's okay. As Darryl mentioned, lunch will be on everybody's own today, and we will take 45 minutes instead of the usual half an hour because of the fact that you're going to have to go out and find your own lunch today. Let's see, I think then we need to go to introductions, and I guess we'll start with you, Darryl, down there.
I'm Darryl Walla. I'm the board member. For the commissioners.
Could everyone say where they're from, too?
Oh, sure. I'm from Omaha.
Thank you.
Julie Johnson, commissioner from York.
Nancy Altman from Hastings. I'm chair of the board.
Jim Murak. I'm from Omaha, and I represent ACB.
Carol Jenkins, Lincoln, NFB designee.
Pearl Van Zandt, executive director of the commission, and I'm in Lincoln.
I'm Hubert Paulson from Lincoln, doing the recordings.
Kathy. I'm Kathy Stevens. I'm the administrative assistant for the commission. I'm from Lincoln.
Okay, sir, on the end.
Sylvester Tarzi, Barney Vips, Columbus.
Mark Nelson, Barney Vips, Columbus.
Can I interrupt? Can I have you spell your name so I can get it for the record?
Me. I mean, S-T-A-R-Z-E-C.
S-T-A-R-E-C?
Z-E-C, yes.
And your first name?
Sylvester. S-Y-L-V-E-S-T-E-R.
And you are from?
Columbus.
Do you want my name spelled too?
Please.
Marvin, M-A-N-V-I-N, Nelson, N-E-I-S-O-N, Columbus, yes.
Is that everybody?
No.
It's F-L-C-E-T-H-A, Nelson, N-E-I-S-O-N, Columbus, Connie Gibbs, Columbus, Nebraska.
Yes.
I'm Vandy Golden.
Oh, gotcha.
I teach in Columbus.
Carlos Servan, Deputy Director for VR Services, Lincoln.
Bob Eaton, Deputy Director of Independent Building Services, Lincoln.
Excuse me, Carlos, would you go close the door, please? It's going to be noisy out there. Thank you.
Gwen Whithelm, G-W-Y-N-N-E-W-I-D-H-A-L-M. I'm from Norfolk. Debbie Maurer from Northbrook.
Glenn Irvin, E-R-V-I-N, counselor with the Commission for the Blind in Norfolk.
Linda Hammer, Columbus.
Janice Schaefer, Lincoln.
Myrna Hansen, Hastings.
And there's another lady in the back, I guess the driver. Okay. It's great to see everybody here.
Yes, it is.
It certainly is. I will make one comment here first that we do have time for a public comment. If you look at the agenda in several areas, that means that you guys, if you have something you don't understand or whatever, that's your time to ask questions or whatever. And if you have a topic you would like to bring up that doesn't relate to anything else, you can certainly do that too. But we usually do try to restrict the public comments to the times that we have set aside. And we generally allow 10 minutes for each time, but I'm, as the board will tell you, I'm very lenient on that. If there are people that, really need to talk to us about stuff, we will extend that time. I don't like cutting people off. That's not me. So in between time, we will, it'll be discussion of the board and the executive director. But otherwise, public comment time is for you guys.
This is Glenn. May I say something?
Yes, Glenn.
Before you get started, that I know some of the folks here don't understand what the board is and the purpose of the board and why we're meeting. So, they know it has to do with the commission, but it might be good to kind of give an overview of, why we have a board and all that.
Okay, I'll do my best, and certainly, commissioners, you can add on if you'd like to. I'll just do a brief history thing here. Back in the year 2000, we established a separate agency, which means that instead of being under the big umbrella with all of the other rehabilitation people, we established our own agency, own commission, which means that we have a governing board, which is us up here, and we are appointed by the governor. We have two representatives, one from the ACB and one, the American Council of the Blind, and one from the NFB, National Federation of the Blind, who must be on the board. We must have a representative from each of those two groups. And the other three of us are here because we're interested in the commission and the things that go on. And it's our job to kind of overlook what's going on at the commission, see that things are going smoothly, and take input from you guys, the consumers, people that have been to the commission, interested in the commission, and to hear from the staff. Although we don't govern the staff, that's Pearl's job, we do, if if they have things they would like to bring up to us. And you'll see that that's one of the things we're going to do today is we send out a survey to the staff each year. And then it is our job, one of our big duties is to hire and or fire. We don't plan on firing Pearl, but you know, that is our job to rehire her each year and to evaluate how well she's done this current year. And part of the way that we do that is to hear from the staff, but we also hear from consumers like you guys, and we, our own personal things that we do with Pearl and stuff, and the communications, there's lots of communication in between time. And we have four quarterly meetings to have this happen. Generally speaking, we have a focus topic. Today we will not have a focus topic because this is the day in May that we do Pearl's evaluation, and it needs to be in the public. So we will be reviewing the surveys and making our own comments and deciding, because we have the power on rehiring her or firing her, and what kind of a raise that she will get if she's rehired. So that's what we do. Does anybody have comments that they'd like to make?
I think you've covered it quite well.
Yeah, Doug,
okay, all right. So the first thing we'll do today then is, and certainly if you have more questions about it when we get down to public comment time, please bring them up and we'll try to answer them for you. First thing we're going to do today is approve the minutes of the last meeting. Before we do that, Hubert and Kathy, I apologize. I should have checked with you to make sure you were ready to record and take notes today, and I didn't do that, but I know you're both here doing your job, so that's something I need to do every time we take a break, is make sure that everybody's ready to go and all the commissioners are here. So we've all had a chance to read the minutes, right?
Everybody's
read through the minutes? Okay. And they've been posted on our website for anybody to look through and read. And they are also available digitally. Hubert knows more about that. For anybody that's, you know, wants to hear the total meeting, not just the notes, the fine notes that Kathy, but the total meeting and every little word that was said, that's also available for people to listen to. So, do we have a motion to accept the minutes as posted?
So moved.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, Jim, do we have a second?
Second.
Okay. We got stereo today.
Yeah.
They're all right together. Okay. So I need to do a roll call to make sure that we're all in agreement. So, Daryl?
Yes.
Julie?
Yes.
Jim?
Yep.
Carol?
Yes.
And I agree, so it's unanimous that the minutes are approved as posted on the website. Now, we are down to the Pearl's evaluation and the review of the survey. And I am going to, I took some notes on the second. There are total, I've forgotten how many questions there are now. 31?
30, yeah.
Excuse me, Nancy.
Yes.
Some more people have arrived.
Okay. Thank you, Pearl. The people that just came into the room, would you please introduce yourself so that we have a record of you being here?
I'm Sherry Schmidt from Columbus.
Thank you. Anybody else?
Yes.
Rita.
Oh, I'm Rita. Rita Cunningham from Columbus.
Okay.
I'm John Schmidt, counselor from the Norfolk office.
That's it.
Okay. Welcome. Kathy, do you need spelling on any of the names or?
The first name Schmidt was it Cheryl?
Shirley.
That's good. Thank you.
Okay. As I stated, we do a survey each year that we send out to the staff. This year was a little different because we had revised the survey and we made it available online. So it could be, you know, we always told people that it could be anonymous, which it could, but it took a little more effort. This year we had the I don't know what Jessica's official title is, but she and Kathy developed a new, not a new survey. We came up with the questions, but they posted it online, so it could be totally anonymous. They can answer it more quickly and more easily, leave comments. I think it would be well for us to go through. I have a couple of notes that I took down on some things that I noticed from the survey, and I think we'll go through those. Then we'll go through the comments, and then we will and we'll talk about the comments and Pearl's, you know, what she feels about the comments and stuff. And then we will do, I have done the averages on the first 10 questions, which pertain specifically to Pearl. So we will do it that way if the board has no objections to that.
That's fine.
Mm-hmm. Okay. One of the first things I noticed from what was filled out, some of the questions, they will be like the usual, agree strongly, agree, neither agree nor disagree, and disagree or strongly disagree. And then some of, and in the, on the first 10 questions, they are, let's see, I've forgotten what the first one, it's the highest ranking, and then above average, satisfactory, needs improvement, or unacceptable. One of the things that I saw, that there was one person that said that staff isn't listened to and said that needs improvement. And to me, you know, even, no, it was two people said needs improvement. And we know that, you know, with offices all over the state, you know, sometimes that is, can be an issue. But one of the things that I found, that out of the 14 people that did the survey, two people said needs improvement for listening to the staff. I don't think that's any huge thing, but it is, to me, a flag that that might be something that, you know, needs to be looked into. But by the same token, when it said listens to consumers and, you know, takes into account what they have to say, Pearl got a satisfactory or above on all of those, and that's, on the other end of the scale, is excellent as far as I'm concerned. That is a thing to be very, very, very proud of. That consumers, since those are the people that we serve, and when there are problems with consumers, and sometimes there are things like that, that you know, that we do, the commission is doing a very, very fine job on that. Let's see, let me. Another thing that I saw that said needs improvement, and only one person said this, that seeing priorities through, said that Pearl needs improvement. This was one person out of 14 that said that. And I know just from my own thing from the commission is that sometimes, you know, money and other things get in the way of seeing priorities through as much as we really try. The next thing that I saw that stood out to me was hiring quality staff, and we have two people out of the 14 that said that needed improvement. So, you know, that's another thing to keep in mind.
I have a question.
Yes. Okay.
The hiring the staff. Is that done by the regional supervisors of the different offices of Katoche, or is that something that you're involved with?
Hiring is done by a team.
Okay.
We have a screening tool for each position separately, and the screening is usually done by a team of the personnel officer, the direct supervisor, and usually either it can be a someone else in that office or one of the deputy directors, or sometimes it is just the supervisor and the personnel that do the screening of each application. Then they decide whom to interview, and then the interviews are done by a team, not necessarily the same team. It can be, say, the supervisor of that office and two of the counselors, or a deputy director, supervisor, or you know, just kind of a mix. Usually, pardon me, at least three. With hiring in the center, then the team is involved. I'm involved with some hiring, but usually not. And then part of the interview, or part of the process, is the interview, and then no matter what position the person is going to be in, they also have a tour of the training center and spend a little bit of time with sleep shades on a little cane travel, just kind of an exposure, a basic exposure situation. And so then the center staff also weigh in on, you know, how the person reacted to that and what kind of attitudes they seem to have, and how open they seem to be. So it's really a group process.
Partnership. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I realize the things that I'm reading through right now, thinks looks like we are really picking on Pearl, but I think these are the things that we need to ask her about. And the other thing is that once we get to the averages, you're going to see that her averages are way up there. So, but you know, we need to bring these things up, because if improvements need to be made and stuff, but it's a good thing to know that, you know, it isn't Pearl doing this all on her own. She's getting input from lots of people, and it's a joint thing.
Right,
so,
right.
And I think that's a good thing to know, too. The next thing I noticed, and I'm only bringing up, you know, mainly the things that had needs improvement or disagree, that kind of thing. The next one was creatively funding services. We had two people that said needs improvement on that, and I think too that's another place where, you know, funds being available, you know, goes into play for that kind of thing too. And I have to say, over the years that I've been involved on being on this board, it's amazing to me what the staff at the commission and all the offices, you know, very creatively come up with new ideas and you know, things, you know, getting the blind person out there, being active in the public, in charities, in all kinds of things, that it's very impressive. But two people here said that needed improvement. And let's see, I really am getting to the bottom of this list, I promise. Let's see. Then going to the supervisor, or, you know, feel the staff being able, feeling like they are able to go to their supervisor or go to Pearl. We had, let's see here, let me get my notes here. I think we had two people that said needs improvement, and let's see, yeah, on that one. And I know that sometimes, you know, there's frustrations and things like that, but bringing them up. And Pearl, I'm going to give you a chance to... let's see. And we had one person that said that they didn't feel like there was a way for them to make suggestions anonymously. And I don't know, you know, sometimes I think possibly there could be new people that they don't realize that, you know, on the website there is a virtual suggestion box, and I know that there are suggestion boxes at the office, or I'm assuming there are suggestion boxes at the...
Do you want me to address it? There is a physical suggestion box in the Nebraska Center for the Blind, the training center in Lincoln. That's really more for clients of the center, but anybody could put a thing in there. Kathy checks that every week. It's a locked box. And then there's the online suggestion box that is only for staff. It's fully accessible. Kathy also checks that every week.
Yes, she does. And that virtual suggestion box comes directly just to the chairman. And when I get it, and there's a suggestion in there, then I pass it on to the other people. But Kathy and I have been keeping in touch. When she sends it out, I let her know that, yes, I did get this, and it still is functioning. And the reason we're more conscious of that is because we had problems with it being, we had two surveys and I think three suggestions in the virtual that were more than 6 months before it came out, and it was one of those glitches that websites and computer users once in a while encounter.
There also, we do remind people they can, just like any member of the public, can email the commission board,
yes,
or can call, you know, or can contact the board if they feel there's something they need to say that they don't want to come to their own supervisor or me with. So that's an option too. The
right.
board is not going to get involved with personnel issues, but if there's an issue, you can, you know, anybody can take it to the board.
Yes.
So
this is true too, and that it's on the website, so you know anybody can feel free to use that. I guess that's the one on the website is just staff, though, isn't it? They can get to that one. Not well, our commission board email, but the suggestion box is just for the staff. That's correct, isn't it?
Yes.
Okay.
Do it. I might just say, this is Darrell Waller. If you want to contact this, I don't mean this to sound smug or anything, but if people want to contact this, please do it intelligently. I've gotten things like, I don't like this one counselor I'm working with. Like, you know, rarely does that happen, but that, you know, that's not constructive. But yes, feel free to come to us, and you know, if you have ideas or you know, if there are some things that you know, you don't feel right about, and then we'll probably tell you to go through the channels anyway. But you know, we are free to listen.
May I make a comment about that?
Yes.
If there is somebody who says that I don't like my counselor, it could very well be for some very good reasons. And sometimes we can reassign, you know, put a different person working with that individual. Sometimes it's because the counselor has issues with the client,
sure,
and sometimes the client has issues with the counselor. So actually, you know, even that, we would want to know so that we could look at what is the situation and how can we resolve it.
I've actually had somebody tell me that. This is Jimmy Rock. I've actually had somebody tell me that. And I suggested that person talk to the district supervisor in the office in question.
Yes.
And bring it to their attention and see what you can do with it.
Right.
I don't think she's done it yet, but that's all I can do.
Yeah, because there can be personality conflicts sometimes.
Uh-huh.
You know, that kind of thing happens in real life, too. And it happens at places where you work, too. I mean, you know.
Yeah.
So, And let's see, then we had, and I'm glad Glenn brought this up, that we had one person on the staff that felt like they didn't realize what the role of the commission board was. And so I think that's something that, you know, we have to keep in mind too. And perhaps maybe it's, you know, somebody that's just new at the commission, or perhaps somebody, you know, just really doesn't understand why we feel that it's important that we be a separate agency so that we get, because I think when we're under that big umbrella, we tend to get a little bit lost because we're a small group.
And I know we talked about keeping the surveys anonymous, and that's fine, but I'd like to know who it was, so that way if there are issues, let's bring them to a meeting and sit them down and they can see what's going on.
Right, exactly. So that, you know, or feel free to talk it over with us, because, you know, those are important things. If you really don't understand why we're here and what we're doing and why we do a long meeting every 3 months. And then we said another one that there were questions about setting the right goals, and we had one person that said neither agreed nor disagreed, and you know, and then we had one person that disagreed with that. So, you know, to me, like I said, I'm just, these are kind of red flags to me that, you know, we need to discuss a little bit more. When somebody puts down neither agrees or disagrees, that to me is like, I'm kind of sitting on the fence. I don't know which way I want to go yet. At least that's the kind of thing, if I were doing a survey, if I really, the answers just didn't fit what I wanted to say. And that's why on our surveys we have an area where people can make comments, which are really the staff giving us comments. That's the real meat of these things. And okay, let's see. The next one was, you know, that Pearl seeks input from the staff, and I have two people, and for whatever reason I did not put down what probably was disagrees with Pearl Seek's input. I personally
what
have
number was that?
I don't remember what.
Oh,
25. Okay. So maybe you can check that out for me, for me taking good notes, but that one I slipped up on, but I was trying to do the, you know, the ones that, let's see. In the meantime, I'll go on with the next thing, that promotions at the commission are fair. We had seven people that said, yes, they were, and we had four people that said they neither agreed or disagreed, and then we had three people that said that they disagreed. We're getting down into an area there where, you know, maybe this is something we need to...
I'm sorry, what was that one again?
Promotions at NCBVI are fair. So we had 7 people were, you know, agreed that yes, they were, but we had four people that were sitting on the fence saying, you know, they neither agreed or disagreed, and maybe they haven't been there long enough to have had a promotion. I don't know. You know, neither agreed or disagreed is an area that, that's kind of like the fence area as far as I'm concerned. And then we had three people that disagreed with that statement. And then I'm back to the top of my list.
Number 25 about seeking input, that was two people who disagreed.
Who disagreed with that. Okay, now, do you want to comment on any of those things first, Pearl?
Sure.
Okay.
With the one about promotions being fair, the truth is we do not have very much turnover. You know, most of our staff come and stay for decades, so we don't have promotions very often. Mm-hmm. So I would actually think that that larger number four being neutral is just a function of that, that you
that
can't really
happen.
Say if they're fair or not fair because we
it
haven't seen
happen.
Promotions. So not that they never happen, but it is
rarely
unusual.
Right.
Or,
okay. Like I said, that is kind of like a, you know, sitting on the fence, and that probably would be, if I was doing that and I had not had a promotion, I probably, that's the one answer that I would have given, is mm-hmm. either agree or disagree. Because how can you agree with something if you've never had a promotion, and how could you disagree if you've never been denied a promotion? So
right.
But the three people that...
Yeah, the three that said no, then that's a different story.
So I'm not sure, but, you know, as you said, there aren't that many promotions, so mm-hmm. I'm wondering how could you come up with three people, maybe? I don't mm-hmm. know. I don't know, but that's where, in some cases, maybe comments, but I don't know that I don't write offhand recall a comment that was one way or the other about promotions. I might be wrong with that, because there are a great number of...
I can't remember. Is there a separate question that asks about raises?
No.
No.
I don't think so. I mean, no. You know what? Maybe...
Well,
know.
But that, see, the reason that's not in there for a reason, because we have nothing to do with that unless we put someone on probation. That is all controlled by rules, the state rules and regulations, and the labor contract. Now, I will say that there's a hand up, and that's from one of our staff. Two things. First of all, in this room, I'm really looking this way at the board, so please don't assume that I will see your hand. I only happen to look over. And then secondly, Nancy, it's Bob Deaton. It's up to you if you want to call him.
Because Bob works very closely, he's a deputy director, he works real closely with Pearl. I think it would be appropriate, Bob, if you have a comment.
On the, on the one item relating to priorities.
Yeah.
I forget exactly how it was stated, but I think it was, somebody disagreed that priorities were correctly established.
Carried through, maybe?
Yeah, carried through. That. I don't think there was so much a problem as far as what the staff answered, as far as, I think there are two separate questions. And they said she, you know, did good on the priorities, but seeing them through.
Well, it's not so much a curious, but I guess maybe it was another item. I know that there was some disagreement in staff with the older blind. You know, this last year especially, we've made a concerted effort to increase state funding for older blind services.
Mm-hmm.
And I know that some staff felt like that was not something we should not do. You know, we should that should not be a priority. And so I just want to say that a unanimous feeling, you know, and that might contribute to some of the negative comments or
ratings. I think that's a really good point
mm-hmm.
to bring out. Yeah,
I
because
agree.
Yeah, because it you know, there is no way for us to know things, and that's why, you know, we do, you know, ask questions on these different things. But that helps clarify. At least it does for me.
Nancy, I heard Carlos.
Okay, Carlos, since you're a deputy director mm-hmm. also, I'll allow you to speak too.
Yeah, I just want to add to about comments too in regards to the same area.
Okay.
Several years ago, maybe 4 or 5, when we were having some crisis with the economy and statewide, it probably very wisely got the supervisors and we were over priorities. Then she also sent to all members of the staff the same questions. And they also sent their priorities and suggestions. Then we met at state staff meetings at least twice and discussed the priorities.
Mm-hmm.
And it was agreed that we didn't have enough funds for all the blind services. So based on that, I didn't hear anybody disagree with that those meetings, and based on that, in order for our staff members to concentrate more on placement or DR, we decided to see if there was a way to get more funding for older blind program. And consumers responded to that too, and you are aware that the past 2 years, the legislator got, well, first year 75,000, and hopefully this year some more money. Mm-hmm. But yeah, that's like Bob is saying, some people maybe don't remember those discussions, and I just want to bring that to the table.
Yeah, and I think that's, you know, that some of the reasoning is, you know, creating to fund services, you know, that kind of thing, I think, comes, you know, there is a frustration because, yeah, we would like more and more money. We're in not too good economic times. And so, you know, it's amazing to me that the legislature would give us, like, last year, the $75,000. You know, extra just for older blind and stuff. I think that's, but I think that's based on the fact that the commission as a whole does excellent work and they do not squander money. It is spent very wisely. And I can see where, you know, there might be staff that says, you know, maybe they're working with younger people and they really see a need for more money there too, which obviously, you know, I'm sure they can use more money. But,
and that is where the mandate is, you know. And frankly, we recognize that even though 6/7 of our budget is geared pay for basic support or for younger clients with employment goals, mm-hmm. We spend an inordinate amount of time on older blind. We're still trying to correct that balance. And then frankly, you know, in some parts of the state, the caseload is much more skewed toward serving older clients. And I think there is kind of a resistance to changing the job duty to de-emphasize older blind services in toward more job placement. But I think too, you know, whenever you have a statewide forum or discussion on priorities and that type of thing, finally, when the decisions are made, of course, you know, not everybody is going to be satisfied. You know,
sure.
And I think that the people who feel like they're not being listened to are the ones who feel like the decisions made don't support their position. You know.
Right.
It's not that we haven't listened. It's just that you can't make decisions that are going to satisfy anybody.
Yeah, this is true, because it isn't like there's unlimited amount of money. There isn't.
No.
So I think that's really true, and I think the legislature was wise enough to realize that instead of having to pay for this elderly person going to a nursing home when their only real problem was blindness and having the training to be able to stay at home and putting them in this nursing home, which the numbers are astronomical anymore to be put in a nursing home when there was really no other reason, and if they could have the training, in the long run is going to be saving the state money. And I think the legislature was smart enough to figure this out. I mean, right. With obviously a lot of people's help, because I know there were a lot of people going to the budget meetings and this kind of thing. I think we need to move on to the comments, because there were a lot of comments, and Daryl's going to help with this because he's got the list. You know, I am, Pearl, please feel free anytime to, you know, make comments and help us understand whatever. But I think Carlos and Bob gave us some really good information there that's understandable, mm-hmm. where some of these comments were coming from.
Yes, thank you very much.
Okay,
Daryl? Do you want me to just read that?
Yeah, why don't just do, can you do just the comments?
Sure.
Okay, well, all right.
What I'm trying to do. Okay. Just read them all? Like.
Yeah, I tell you what, do one at a time.
Okay.
And then if Pearl has things she would like to add to that.
Okay.
And I must tell you that, generally speaking, I would give the list of comments to Pearl Ahead of time, I was remiss about this, so, you know, if there's something that she needs to do a little more research on or whatever as pertains to one of the comments, that's going to be acceptable to us, too.
Okay.
I'm making an executive decision.
And may I just comment, too? I mean, I will certainly, after the meeting, you know, look again at all the comments and the results and think mm-hmm. about ways that we can
yeah.
address
sure.
the issues.
Of course. And, you know, that's something that we, you know, we do take for granted. And
right.
it's something
okay.
that I should have mentioned. But, yeah. Because
thank you.
Some things cannot, you know, some things need more time to be looked into. But this is just a general, and if we can answer questions immediately, that's a very good thing. Okay, Darrell.
Okay. Question 32 of our survey was, if you could change one thing at NCBVI, what would it be? So our the first response was better accountability of consumers who do not follow through with their rehab and or IL plans. So many staff hours are spent trying to locate or work with people who are not ready or wish to continue with services. Mm-hmm. And I'm sure that happens.
Yeah, mm-hmm. you know, but you don't know those kinds of things going in, you know.
Mm-hmm.
You I think you automatically assume if a consumer comes to the commission that they're taking the training because they want to find the job. They want to.
Sorry, I'm just turning off. I'm just turning
okay,
off my phone.
Okay, Julie first. Yeah.
Well, I can see both sides of this one. I think on the one hand, people that may be newly blind, they're just coming to the agency. A friend, family member, mm-hmm. Caseworker referred them. They may not be ready.
Right.
But mm-hmm. they're not gonna be ready unless somebody's there, you know, every other week or once a month, you know, whatever, continuous telling them this is available, you can do this. They're not ever going to be ready. But I do agree there is got to come a time when people have to step up to the plate. Yes, you know, I'm going to take some personal accountability. So I don't know, where do we find the place in the middle where we're not wasting resources, but yet we're still supportive of people that are in the process of becoming ready.
I have a comment after Carlos. But
okay,
maybe
Carlos, would you?
Sure, I'll try to make it as short as I can.
Well,
because I came back when we went over those priorities a few years ago, that was one of the comments. I'm as a deputy director for BR. I said, well, yeah, for sure. Those who are not helping, those who are not contributing to their IPE, let's close them. If they don't return phone calls, if they don't come to me, let's close them. What we started to do some of that. But then I got to reflect on another meeting, went to some places in which I also heard some placement specialists to say those things. I don't work with them if they are not ready to work. I don't play them if they don't want to work. But I remember very clearly now when 3 years ago or so, Dr. Schroeder came to talk to management, and he talked a lot about that particular issue, and he emphasized saying, listen, if we are about only those who want to work very hard and get placed, our jobs will be easy. But let's also face it, those who we think don't want to work or don't want to help in their process, they don't really think that way. Something else is going on in their lives. And it's our jobs, which different us from the one-stop services, it's our jobs to find that out. We are counselors, we are professionals, and we have to find ways to do that. And that made me think a lot. Yeah, we spend maybe more time with those folks, but it's worth it after several years. It clicks. Sometimes we change counselors, sometimes we hire somebody else to do the job. But finally, after several years, that person gets placed. I won't tell you names, but I know like four or five folks who we thought never were going to work. And they're employed and happy.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. It's because it clicked. So I know it's hard, but that's one of the things that I also know growth is very strong. That's why we are a PR agency and not a stop center.
I think that the person there was, you know, expressing frustration. Maybe they've worked with a person for a long time.
Exactly. And I was just going to say that. Perhaps we need to offer more training or support or something to staff so that they're better able to cope with that, to motivate clients, to dig deeper and find out what is going on so that it can move forward. You know, so maybe we need to
think and about that. If I can jump in, Pearl? A couple of comments. In our state staff meeting last month, we actually had a session. We broke into small groups to discuss situations that are difficult to handle. In the olden days, we would say working with difficult clients. Well, that puts all the blame on the client. But people face a lot of different barriers, right. Some of which is their own fear of blindness. Some is the exterior family, you know, all of those things. But so we very recently have done that, and we'll continue that in the local office meetings. And so, you know, as a system, trying to find ways to help people work around those difficult situations. The other part of it is, I think Julie really touched on it, that many people aren't ready, and they think that because they're so afraid of blindness that they expect nothing of themselves anymore. They've completely lost their idea of who they are. And so our whole approach about elevated expectations and understanding blindness and having confidence in yourself again, that in truth you haven't lost who you are. You just have to find different ways to do things and feel confident and build a high expectation for yourself. And, you know, that is a difficult process. It's actually kind of a difficult process even for folks who are pretty open to things. It just is. And so we really work continually on that.
Okay, Carlos, and this is probably the last thing, because we got lots of comments.
We recognize the type of training that our counselors need, and they will be getting some training on the culture of poverty, for instance, that we recognize was one of the main issues.
Okay. Thank you. Okay, Daryl, next comment.
Okay. The next comment is better communication with each district office with equal access to, I guess that's a separate, just a blanket comment. Oh. Better communication with each district office probably is something that no matter where you are, somebody would have that. So and I don't know if anybody wants to address that. Or
yeah, we're a widespread state. Would you like to talk?
I don't know that I have any real comment. Okay. It's an ongoing, communication is ongoing, and
Well, I was just going to say, I wonder if the new case management system would help at least communicate about clients between the offices. But I don't know what clients would be communicated about between, unless it's the center and the...
And actually, all of the, on the new eForce, the new data system, that really will help with regard to communication about clients. The center now has, they're doing all of their monthly reports in the system. So the counselor in Scotts Bluff, when they look at, go into the system for that client, they can read everything that's current in the center. And likewise, center staff can read anything new that the home counselor is working on. It's really going to be a good way for more information to be available to everybody.
Yeah.
So.
Okay. And I know that you, at the staff meeting or before the staff meeting, you had training on that new eForce thing, and we're all hoping that's going to be a wonderful thing.
Yeah.
Okay. Next comment.
One I don't have any opinion on because I don't know enough about it, but it was stated here: equal access to technology and training for all staff.
You know, I know that, you know, you have, you know, technology specialists and stuff. I don't know if that's a comment about that they get more training and stuff than, which would make sense if they would have more training than me.
Yeah, I don't quite understand that comment.
Excuse me. If anything, I think we err on the side of a lot of training. I don't really think we err, but we, any individual who can identify some training they want and, you know, talk to their supervisor about it, we don't say no very often to requests for training. And actually we are starting to do more training for the support staff who are now voc rehab techs, so they get paid a little more than they did before, and they're all going to be working, well, a little different across the state, but in general they're learning JAWS. They're going to be able to do basic training instruction for people, for clients, so they'll be getting technology training. We had some training and exposure to new technology at our state staff meeting. So I guess, you know, if there's an individual that has a specific interest in some training, then they just need to be a professional and let their supervisor know, here's what it is that I want to learn. And even if they don't know, they don't have to come with a workshop they can sign up for. If they don't really know, but they feel they need training in whatever, as long as the supervisor, you know, agrees, yes, this fits what we really need here, the supervisor or Carlos and Bob would assist in locating a training specific to that. So that's what I would really encourage people to do.
Okay.
And Carlos and Bob can take that information back out into the field to, and they do actually bring up training all the time, but it's something they can reinforce to supervisors and staff to remember, you know, if you know of a training. I mean, if you need training in some area, let us know and we'll figure it out.
Yeah.
Carlos, just if you...
Okay, Carlos.
If somebody is lacking training, I think it's just because that person is not assertive enough to ask for training. We usually offer and approve.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I guess I would, you know, from everything I know about the way things are run at the commission, that would have been my comment too. I was a little wondering about that comment, but, you know, one of the things we needed to clarify here. Okay, Carol?
I think next one is, again, I shouldn't probably be giving my opinions, but maybe it moves things along if I do, because on some of these too, but the next one is extra work is compensated. And well, it's my understanding that that's not really our call or yours. That's more with the higher ups in the state, isn't it? About compensation and overtime.
The way I interpreted that comment was, if I get more work dumped on my caseload, I want more money for it.
Oh.
Really?
That's how I interpreted it. Extra work.
Extra work is compensated.
That's how I interpreted that comment.
Are they talking like merit pay or something?
Well, see, that's the trouble with just comments and with anonymous. You can't get into discussion.
No, you can't. Yeah.
So I would, I guess, respond to either way. Generally, what we do when there's, a project that really you have to have this by a certain time, so we have to work extra hours, we manage that in the way that the labor contract and rules and regulations allow, and that is, we give either time and a half time or pay, and it's worked out ahead of time with the supervisor. Because our budget is so tight, we usually do time and a half time, you know, that if you work this weekend, then over the next pay period, and don't quote me on the specifics, because the labor contract has it all very specific, that in a certain time period, you will get 12 hours off if you worked 8 hours, and it'll just be considered regular pay. There are occasions when we actually pay time and a half time, I mean money, and that's fine. We, again, approve it ahead of time and say, okay, it's a need, it has to be done. There isn't a way to make the extra time work because then they have obligations. Example, if Kathy had already worked a full 40 hours this past week and then had to work today, we can't give her extra time next week because she's got to get the minutes done because of public meeting laws. It has to be done in a certain period of time. So what we do is flex out the time prior, in the week prior, and then, you know, so that it works. But if it wouldn't have worked, if we, she couldn't have done it any differently, then we would go ahead and approve the pay in addition. So mostly we avoid the pay. We always work it out ahead of time with the understanding and mutual agreement between supervisor and worker, and then there you go. Now, for people not under the labor contract, we have no right to, we don't get extra pay in any case. It's just we're you know, at the service of the state, so that's the way it is.
Yeah.
And then with regard to Jim's comment, I guess it goes back to the labor contract, and as long as the job that you're doing is the job you were hired to do, then the agency can't give you extra money for that extra work. If an individual feels like their job has become bigger or beyond what they really were hired to do, then they can request a desk audit where state personnel comes in and looks at the job and says, oh yeah, you really aren't being a secretary anymore. You're working with clients. You should be paid at a higher level. So there are mechanisms for getting that approved. But okay. But it's hard to know. I mean, I'm not sure what that person really meant.
It wasn't specific enough for us to, you know, sometimes if you know the person that made it, you can say, oh yeah, that's, you know, why they made that comment or whatever, but.
Right.
Another case that you need to work it out with management or supervisors, this kind of thing. Okay. Next
one is two permanent full-time counselors in North Platte.
And I'm, you know, I don't know enough about the North Platte office to know that if that's something that's in the works or if that's even possible.
Okay. Well,
full-time counselors in North Platte.
In North Platte.
Yep. That's the way it reads.
Who's Jamie and?
In the North Platte office, we have the VR tech is Sherry Brugman, VR counselor, excuse me, folks, Voc Rehab is VR. VR counselor is Denise Johnson Roderkus, and the home teacher or orientation counselor is Jamie Forbes. Jamie has been a part-time person, or I should say that position is officially part-time and has been, and what we are doing right now is we have expanded that to it's funding on a temporary basis the position at a full-time level with the stimulus funds that we got from the federal government. We'll be talking more about that later. Mm-hmm. But so she is working full-time right now, and we expect to be able to support that until the end of September 2011, which is when the stimulus funds end. And there, our hope is that if the state funds us more fully in the future, that we would be able to have that.
You can't use the stimulus money to hire another position, could you?
You can, but if with stimulus it, we need to make sure we don't add positions. Because then, when that's
right, that's a
when
good
we
point.
Get to the time, we can't just take the position away. The whole statewide, we have to do the layoff process.
Yeah, I didn't think about that.
Working very hard to avoid such.
Right, okay.
That is a very...
Been through that before.
Yes. So the caseloads in North Platte are such that having two full-time people makes sense. Is that what...
Well, that's part of the discussion, and without looking more into real details today, I wouldn't... I mean, they've kind of fluctuated up and down. When we did the layoffs several years ago in the period of time Carlos was speaking about, we looked very closely at where were the people, both the voc rehab clients and the independent living clients, how much time were they taking. I mean, three people in central Omaha is different than three people 8 hours away or 4 hours mm-hmm. away from each other in western and northern Nebraska. Like the western end of the Norfolk area is, you go a lot of miles between one person. So it's not just the number of clients. But we did a very, very comprehensive look at all of that and based the decisions that we made at that time on that. And we've redone that kind of assessment periodically to see, you know, where are the needs.
But for right now, it is full-time and sort of the estimated projection is that it will remain.
The status is still part-time. But in effect, it's full-time.
But we're funding at the full-time level, yes.
Yeah, and it's projected that that will hopefully be able to continue at definitely until 2011 and
That's our plan.
Possibly beyond.
And Carlos or Bob might have more about the latest update on those statistics,
I'm ready to move on.
Yeah. I agree.
Okay.
I wouldn't...
Do you have a comment?
No, I'm reading the next one, sorry.
Okay.
Okay, the next comment is, I would encourage employees to work towards specific goals, especially improving communication from supervisors to subordinates.
Subordinates. Sounds kind of negative, subordinates, but...
That's just a term.
Yeah, I know. Yeah, I know what it is. Yeah, but it sounds...
Mm-hmm. Do I need to read that again, or...
I don't think so.
Are we okay on that? Or anybody wants to comment, or...
Yeah,
my opinion is goes back to what we said earlier. You know, people just need to be grown up and assertive.
Yeah, my philosophy is God gave you a mouth, use it.
Well, a lot of times you don't know what can be accomplished unless you open mm-hmm. your mouth to, and it doesn't have to be in a negative way, and it doesn't
right.
have to be in an argumentative tone either. You know, sometimes it's just as easy as stating, you know, this is what I need. I think it takes some people longer, and the only reason I say this is because it took me a long time to be assertive, and then when I finally was, it had built up so long in the job that I had that it did come out argumentative, and that was not a good thing because there really wasn't a problem. The problem was me, you know, because I didn't let my needs and wants known. I just didn't do that. So that might be the case here, too, but, you know, keeping communication lines is always a good thing.
Yeah,
keeping
absolutely.
Okay.
Next couple three are interesting, so we might not be able to move quite as fast, but that blind and sighted staff were treated equally. I feel very strongly that blind staff is virtually always treated with deference and does not do the same tasks sighted staff is asked to do, especially manual things. Included are cleaning, carrying, scraping ice, shoveling, etc. Also, there are many times when blind staff are picked up at their homes by drivers and taken to the initial work site. This is never an option for sighted staff.
Okay.
My first question is, why are any of the staff cleaning and shoveling snow? Aren't there other people that take care of that?
Yes, there are, and I don't know of any staff that, unless they're talking about when you go out, if I'm going to use a state car, and I go out in the morning and it has snowed, then I would scrape and clean the car, whereas if I were Carlos, Hubert would be doing that. Now, that's the only scraping and cleaning of ice that I can think of. Our staff in the offices, sighted or blind, don't do, I don't know about, how about in Norfolk?
Thank you. This is John. If the car gets snow, I mean, they come by and clear off the driveway and might plow around the snow. We might go out and scoop out our cars.
Yeah.
That's about it.
This is Glenn. I usually clean it off for my drivers.
Good for you. All right.
And that's on public record,
well,
too.
Well, you know, and I'm wondering, too, you know, just speaking as a woman, you know, a lot of times if there's a guy around, guess what happens?
Mm-hmm.
But I think that equals out in that sometimes women do things that the guys don't do, too. So,
Bob had a comment.
Okay, Bob.
Well, I remember, too, there was a time, not that long ago, it's been a while, but it used to be that the big cars had two scrapers. They don't anymore.
Mm-hmm.
I've asked. You know, and I don't know why that suddenly stopped, but I used to, when I go out to the car with the driver, you know, I used to scrape, you know, I do one side and the driver does the other side, but then there's only one scraper, you can't do that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, and I think a lot of it is individually. I don't know.
Do these things ever come up at staff meetings? Has anybody brought this?
Can I make one other comment? Just like today, John drove today and he picked me up at my house, but would it have made sense for me to go to the office and when it was right on the way for John to pick me up?
I don't know either. I feel like this is a staff kind of issue, but my question is, if the blind people aren't helping with the carrying or whatever there is to do, if somebody is helping me and they're not doing it and I could use the help, I mean, I guess I think I could say, you know, would you mind helping me with this?
Right.
To get it done. So I don't know, but that was one of the comments.
Yeah.
So.
I have a comment.
Sure.
Glenn would like
to. Okay, Glenn?
Gwen.
Gwen.
Oh, Gwen.
Yes. I just finished my training at the center, but there were some things that I noticed as far as, the goal of the center, obviously, be independent, use the buses, different things like that, but then you would turn around and you would see, blind people getting rides, with other people, not so much utilizing the bus system themselves. I don't know. I just kind of felt that there was definitely some deference to that. And it's kind of like, well, do I have to earn that right to be, picked up by someone else, because I'm at the center and, you can't do that.
Is it possible they asked?
They could have, but it's just hard as a center person.
Oh, yeah.
You're getting this drilled into your...
Oh, certainly, I understand that.
Your head all day, and, which is fine. I mean, I understand that, but I just...
I hate to interrupt, and I'm going to, because I kind of misunderstood who was wanting the floor, and the only reason I'm allowing people like Jonathan and Glenn to... join in and is because they are staff people that might have some insight into what we're trying to understand here. But we do have a public comment time, and as you will see, we are supposed to be done at this point, and we're not done. So I need to ask that the public comment time be during the public comment time, and we do appreciate comments from the public, but we do need to have a structure here. So I think we can move on from this comment and
next
go to the next one.
The way some supervisors address problems they have with other staff, jumping the chain rather than trying to resolve the problem with the staff member first. very, very unprofessional and damages relationships.
You know, the board really isn't privileged to the kind of things that happen between supervisors and their staff, so I'm not sure.
We would need to really think about that more and consider it and try to come up with some strategies to...
It does sound like, you know, maybe partly a communication thing, and we don't, you know, if there's a specific thing that's happened there, I don't know that that would be more in the line of, you know, executive director, deputy director, supervisor, staff, and on down the line type thing that...
But it seems like it's communication is coming up.
Yeah.
I really think communication is
the core issue.
Core of many, many things. I have to say, I really believe our communication is above and beyond what you'd find in any government agency. We are technically a bureaucracy, but yet we really work hard to have good communication, but it's an ongoing process. It's just like a marriage. It doesn't just stay good, and it's every single day you have to keep working on things.
Right.
So we do, but we certainly would keep, you know, we'll look at any specifics and...
Okay.
These are quite amusing. The next one is three words. VR Deputy Director.
Ooh.
I don't know what that meant, if that was somebody...
I'm not making light of it, I'm sorry.
I don't know, you know, what exactly that's supposed to mean to us, but...
Well, it is what it is.
Is it something that person wanted changed?
Probably right, Carol.
You know, it's really, you know, without extra comments, what are we supposed to do with that? So, I don't know.
Okay,
so what else do we have?
Okay, next one is a little more lengthy. We're getting too soft, bringing back hardcore blindness, independence training, and philosophy. By this, I mean not bailing our clients out with drivers, maintaining records and resumes for them, etc. Whatever happened to personal responsibility?
Well, that's with anything.
Well, that is certainly something we can look at if we...
That goes to...
You know, and sometimes it's such a little thing and you don't... Mm-hmm. There was another agency this isn't us, but it's an example of the kind of thing that can happen, where they had stamps available for clients to purchase in the office of the center. Well, one of the clients one day said, "Why are you guys selling stamps?" And, well, I guess it's so they'll be convenient for you. Well, if you're in your workaday life, if you're in a job, you're not going to, and you need to send your bills or take care of some personal mail, you're going to have to find a way to get to the post office, or if there's a store locally that has stamps. You know, it's some of those living in the world things that if we, for convenience or quickness or whatever, have started doing some things, then we do need to look at that. So,
that's
sort of like communication. It's all the time in everything we do, we need to make sure we're... Mm-hmm. Recently, there were, I think this relates to a recent in our workshops that we had, and the counselors had set up a lot of informational interviews and a lot of interactions between clients and employers, representatives from business, and so... Center staff and maybe Lincoln District or Omaha District too, but I know for sure in the center they had a big push to work with all the clients that were coming on their resumes and post those to the computers and, you know, to really get the thing moving so I would say in that situation more was done by staff and maybe would have been done otherwise or should be. It's that we could have a debate about. But it was because of the whole, you know, getting the whole thing to work right, making sure clients had their resumes with them, because all this work had gone and said it. So I think that's what that's from.
And I think, okay, my opinion, if you get too much, the client has to do everything on their own, what's the point of having a VR counselor or going
right.
to the center?
Mm-hmm.
They
yes.
could do all that on their own at home if they were going to do it.
Yes. There's got to be a happy medium between mm-hmm. something that really is custodial, where I'm going to do this for you because you're a poor mm-hmm. little blind person, versus mm-hmm. do it all your own. Here, I sent you a thing about the, or I not even do that, but look in the library. There's lots of resources for how to write a resume. Mm-hmm. Get it done.
Mm-hmm. Or ask Carol. She did a workshop here a while ago.
So.
One of the things that I really feel has happened, and maybe people disagree with me, but the center, your philosophy and approach is truly, in my opinion, so much better than what I encountered in the 70s and the rigidity, and you know, you allow people, you know, to bring their children, you know, and have the daycare and so forth. You are, you know, you're flexible, more flexible with the training, and you know, if we become too rigid on this sort of thing, then, you know, there's no room for, you know, personal judgment, and you know, so I guess I'm happy with the way things are. But
yeah. Okay. Next.
Okay. Would like some updated office equipment to make our jobs more efficient. However, I realize this is not always possible given the budget.
That answered that question right there.
Yeah, pretty much said
there
it
go.
All in one statement.
There you go.
But unless somebody has a comment, I think we'll just go on.
Move on.
Okay, next one.
I agree.
Would like to see outcome feedback from employment seminars.
I agree with that.
Such as who received an interview, who received a job offer, and have the client develop a written employment plan very soon after attendance to help them keep focused on their employment goal. Maybe the employment plan could be a condition or criteria for attendance at the seminar. Would like to know how the client outcome percentages are arrived at. What criteria is used to determine these percentages, and what is the definition of outcome? How many are successful VR closures versus unsuccessful VR closures for clients who attended the center as compared to field staff training?
Okay.
That's a two-part issue, isn't it?
Yeah.
It seems like we talked about the job success rates between field play, you know, and the center. I'm trying to say.
Yeah,
seems like we talked
that was
about that
first meeting.
Meetings ago.
I'm pretty sure we talked about that.
Yeah. Maybe one. I guess, just in the interest of time, we look at that all the time. The track, you know, anybody that succeeds as a result of center training also is a success as a result of field training, because you don't get to the center without work in the field first and work in the field after. Most people who finish the center and then go into employment, they don't do it immediately after the center. After the center, they either go on to college or training or the job search process, which is field staff working with them. So it's very much a combination and success. When we say the numbers of success in the center, that's attributed to the success of field staff as well. So that doesn't answer all of it, but that's a part of what I think about.
Yeah. You do put out those statistics, too. I mean, every time you get
the
report.
We get
the
tracking
right.
sheet.
Right.
What are the criteria for clients going to the employment seminar? is it just that they have to be a VR client, or is there some sort of...
To attend the workshops that we've had lately?
Mm-hmm, because I think that was the first part of it.
Okay. I thought pretty much any consumer that was interested was able to go.
That's what I thought, too, because I'm an IL, and so...
Oh, Carlos, did you have a comment?
Just what Pearl mentioned, anyone who is interested for the counselor trying to motivate him.
I'll be really brief because I want to take a break. but I think from my own perspective and my own experience, when I first went to what they called Round Two It way back
then. Oh, I remember that. Yeah, I remember that, yeah.
I really was clueless. I was in college. I, you know, wanted to have a job. I was thinking about a job, but that was so far off in the future and so theoretical
right.
that it was just like, yeah, that sounds like a great idea, yeah. But I went anyway, and I, you know, I didn't get a job until years later. But every year, or most every year, I went to those things, and I got a little bit closer and a little bit closer. Mm-hmm. But I do remember the first time, it was just such a theoretical, abstract concept of this whole job thing. And I think maybe that's what happens in this comment, that some of the people that attend that just are not, they're not employment ready, mm-hmm. but the exposure.
Right, exactly, and that's okay, because mm-hmm. then that exposure helps them see, well, maybe this isn't just a concept.
Right, but I think after they've attended three of them and they still don't have a plan, I think maybe that's a problem.
Okay.
But, I don't know, just my...
But can you limit somebody from going 16 times if they want to go?
16 is a little bit expensive.
Well, no, I understand, yes. Yeah.
I would say more to the point, it's not that we'd say, okay, you can't come anymore, but we'd be looking at the counselor saying, you know, what is it that we, the agency, is doing with this person? What aren't we doing? Why would... Voc Rehab is not just an ongoing service. It's supposed to be a process where the person actually goes through learning, adapting, developing, you know, and completing and getting a job, getting a good job, or moving away from a nursing home, or becoming able to prevent moving into a nursing home and things like that. It's not an ongoing
right.
service.
Would it be, but an individual Voc Rehab counselor does have enough flexibility in their own caseload. They could have their individual clients do some sort of employment plan, even though, I mean, I guess I'm asking how much are the individual counselors allowed to come up with their own approach with the clients?
Okay. Counselors have a lot of authority and discretion or individuality, but the Rehab Act requires that it cannot be a counselor developing the plan for the client. That's how it used to be. But we really must work in coordination and cooperation with the client. It has to be the client's plan. Our
right.
counselors are there as a resource, and then there are periodic reviews with the supervisor. Maybe the counselor's really feeling stuck with a client and the supervisor can give suggestions. Then there are case reviews where the deputies come in and meet with supervisors and counselors and look at, you know, how are your cases moving? If you've got some people stuck in the same category in the same status for 16 years, something's wrong, and we need to fix, we need to revisit what we're doing here.
Mm-hmm. Okay, I know this has gone way over length, and we're certainly not done yet, but I've had a request for a break, and so I think I'm going to make the executive decision to move up the break time, and we will do that now. And there is, in fact, a chocolate cake in the back, and everybody is very welcome to have a piece. There should be forks and plates. And
I'm going to make a pit stop if I can.
Somebody said it's very good. Does that mean you already ate some? Shame on you.
Okay, so let's make it 10 minutes, but, you know, get back.